How many of you are not standing in line? You got all your shopping done. Some of you, I did mine last year. I'm just giving you repeat gifts, that's all. So the Christmas lights are on. We turned ours on for the first time this year, last night. We had a bunch of kids coming over, and we thought, well, they probably would like to see some Christmas lights, so we had them on. And of course, yesterday we were over at the most favorite store of a Canadian Tire. And of course, people were shopping and planning, and I'll tell you, it was so busy, I wanted to get out of there. I was getting dizzy watching. And of course, all of us are planning to be with family and friends, and so it's a pretty exciting time of the year, a time of celebration. But certainly, with that comes some focus, and not everybody feels like celebrating, in fact. Maybe you're here this morning, you're saying, I'm not sure that I feel that I'm really in the mood. Some circumstances in your life are such that maybe your world has fallen apart. Or you know those whose lives are pretty mixed up and confused, and their lives have fallen apart, and so you wonder, how are they going to celebrate the Christmas season? Then again, you may be facing a time of stress in your life that you haven't faced before. You sort of say, you know, so much for the Christmas lights. I don't even feel like putting them on. I don't really want to put a Christmas scene up. So much for the Christmas tree. I'm not sure we're going to do it. People do go through times like that in their lives. Their world has, like I said, fallen apart. And then again, what if you simply just have lost perspective, the busyness of life, and you see, like I said, you go to Canadian Tire, and it's just absolutely wild. And I said, what are we doing here? You know, we were actually just looking for a few small things at the time, and I knew it was, of course, the, I guess what they refer to as the Canadian counterpart of Black Friday, and so people were trying to match that, And so the stores were unusually busy. So what is the Advent season all about? Even if your world is maybe a little bit confused. By the way, there isn't one of us that isn't affected by the events that are taking place, whether it be in the world, whether it be locally in our community, or whether it be immediately in our families. These are things that affect us all, and we're all trying to figure out how do we worship God? How can we celebrate? And so the Advent season, or the Christmas season, is really a time to refocus, stopping to reflect on the blessings that we have. And these blessings are as a result of our relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ. The devotional that we had read from Jody here this morning is focusing in on an old movie. We're going to play a clip of it here in a moment. Get you cue it up. And Uncle Billy in this story is sort of the guy that sort of takes care of the family business. They run a little bit of a buildings and loans. Buildings and Loans was a place where people would go and borrow money when they couldn't get a conventional mortgage from a bank. And so Uncle Billy was noted for his forgetfulness, and every time he would turn around, he'd be thinking about, well, what did I forget? And he'd put these little strings on his fingers. Anyway, in the course of this particular story, he was about to make a deposit at the bank, and he had the money, but somehow he had laid it down and someone picked it up. And so he didn't make the deposit. And this affected George Bailey's life. And George Bailey is starting to wonder whether he's going to be going to jail or not. And so he's about to end his life. And as he's about to do that, an angel drops in. His name is Clarence. Clarence intervenes and helps George to understand what life would be like if George wasn't part of this world. And so we're going to pick up the clip. It's near the end. We're going to play about 10 minutes of it. And then we're going to look at this passage in Galatians, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the benefits that you and I have. With sin, and we need to be set free. So George Bailey discovered that although he wanted to give up on life, that he actually had somebody looking out for him. In this case, of course, it was the Lord, and he discovered who his true friends really were. You and I can lose perspective. I don't know where you're at. I don't know the circumstances that you're facing. I know that each of us are making decisions. And without the Lord, we could make the wrong decisions. In fact, if we're not walking with God, even though we're believers, we can make wrong choices that will affect our lives. Today, the world, of course, is looking for a deliverer, looking for a solution to the social problems, the economic problems, the political problems of our world. We're developing policies to fight pollution, poverty, currency wars. We have political gridlock. You name it, we've got it. Of course, that does give man some measure of credit because man at that point says, I realize that I have a problem. The problem is that man doesn't seek God for the solution. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 2 for a moment, and we'll keep your finger in Galatians. Exodus chapter 2. In the Old Testament, Israel was facing a similar problem. Jacob and his family had moved from the land of Canaan, moved to Egypt as a result of a famine. Abraham was told some years earlier that they as a nation, his descendants, would be in another country, not their own, for 400 years. That's found in Genesis 15. And so after 400 plus years, the family that had gone into Egypt as a number of 70 had grown to be quite possibly more than 2 million people. As a result, they began to be a threat to the Egyptian people. And so the Egyptians said, we're going to enslave them. And so they were enslaved. In fact, all of us are subject to slavery. We read about that in the book of Romans chapter 6 and 7, that we are subject to slavery, to that which we give ourselves over to. Yet all of us, of course, were born enslaved to sin. Not one of us isn't dealing with the issue of sin in our lives. And so the nation of Israel was looking to God, and so he sent them a baby boy. A little bit of a parallel picture to the Advent season that we are celebrating right now. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she had him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him in a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. And she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. And so he was raised by Pharaoh's sister. And we read that he, as he grew up, he was considering the fact that God was going to deliver his people, take them out of Egypt. However, he took things into his own hands, made some wrong choices. Consequently, he ended up killing a man and then had to run for his life. Later in life, some quite possibly another 40 years later, God met him at Mount Horeb. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. As Moses is on top of the mountain, he can hardly anticipate what God is going to have him do. It was a strange sight. he didn't really understand what purpose for which he was created. He knew that he was living in a sin-torn world, but could hardly figure out how he could be part of the solution. You too might be facing that very same question. Why am I here? I'm an imperfect human being. I can hardly wonder how God can use me. Yet God has a very distinct purpose for each of us. As fathers, as mothers, to raise our families. And then for our families, our children, to grow up and mature and walk with the Lord. In turn, tell their friends about the Lord. And so God met with Moses. In verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and bring them up to that land, to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. And now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come up to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you." Send you. You can imagine that echoing in his ears as he heard that. "I'm going to send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." You may not see yourself as a deliverer in God's program. You may not see yourself as being used by God, but God wants to use you. And so God is sending deliverers throughout the world. Of course, they're not anything like the Savior who dealt with all the sin of all people of all time. But as we look through the Old Testament, we see God sending deliverers throughout Israel's history. He used the judges. He used the kings. Of course, these proved to be short-term solutions. And so as we look to symbolic of the Advent season, we look to the Christmas tree with the bearing of gifts and all of it being given in the interest of others. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus did for us. The Advent season, as we lit the candle and it went out, anticipates the coming of God's deliverance. Those of us who have placed our trust in Christ, we've already experienced part of that deliverance. We live in the light of the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ. So we anticipate today as believers the return of the Messiah, just as they anticipated the coming of the Messiah. So let's go over to Galatians 3, 26 to chapter 4, verse 7. You read the passage and you sort of wonder, what is significant about this message? Well, what ended up happening was that the Galatian believers were being duped into believing that they had to return to the Mosaic law. They had to practice circumcision, dietary laws, and the like. And the Apostle Paul wanted them to be sure and to understand that without a doubt they were set free from all of those legalistic ritual practices. So I want you to stop right now, and I want you to think about who you are in Christ. I want you to maybe just reflect for a moment when you read what Paul has written to the Galatians. Why don't you just scan down, starting at verse 26. And I want you, where it says you, I want you to put I. For I am a son of God. Why don't you put that there? I am a daughter of God. I'm a child of God. Why don't you put down 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, next to that verse. Because John says the same thing that Paul says. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God, children of God. Read a little further, it says, We are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for all of you were baptized into Christ. We've been baptized into Christ in the person, the body, the actual ministry of his church. We have been placed in this body called the church, the body of Christ, for a purpose. God wants to use us together like nobody else. And the uniqueness of every church is to be used just as it is, unique with all the individuals that make up that church. And so you're part of this church. And many of you have different roles and responsibilities in this church. Without you, we could not have the ministry that we have. Each and every one of you has a very intricate part, a very important part in what happens here. From our worship teams, the cleaning ministry, the junior church ministry, all of that is very, very much a part of what we are doing here. But even greater than that, all of us who leave here have extended family and friends and places where we work that God is saying, I want you to be salt and light. And I want you to realize that you have a great influence in the lives of others. You've been baptized in the body of Christ. It says also in verse 28, we are all one in Christ Jesus. It's not about role distinctions as such. It doesn't make us better, even though we have different roles. We're all the same. We're one in Christ. Men, women, boys, and girls. That's great. It's not about hierarchy as such. We're also Abraham's descendants. Verse 29. What do you mean? I'm not Jewish. No, you're not Jewish. I'm not Jewish. I have nothing against, of course, Jewish people. In fact, I pray for them that they might come to understand who Jesus is. But the Bible teaches that having placed our trust in Christ, we are descendants of Abraham by faith. The same kind of faith that Abraham exercised is a faith that we exercise, for which God, as he blessed Abraham, wants to bless through our lives. It says also in verse 29 that we are heirs according to the promise, which means that we are to receive an inheritance. And then it says that we are also adopted. Adopted children. Adoption is pretty important. You see, if you weren't adopted, you wouldn't be part of a family. Adoption signifies that somebody wants to take care of you. Somebody wants you to be part of their family. God is saying, I want you and I to be part of his family. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. So you want to remember what you've received in Christ. What have you received? Sonship, baptism into the body. You are one in Christ, descendants of Abraham by faith, heirs receiving an inheritance and adoption. These are all the things that you and I have received. Ephesians chapter 2, just a few pages over. So remember who you are in Christ. But sometimes we fail to recognize who we are in Christ. We're clouded. Our judgment is clouded by the circumstances in our lives, and we can very easily lose perspective, as George Bailey did. You may say, well, I've never lost perspective like George Bailey. No, you may not have. You want to praise God for that. But you may know someone who has. You may have met people who have walked away from the faith. You may have met people who are no longer with us because they've opted out. Remember who you were without Christ. Advent season is about remembering who we are in Christ, but remember the richness of that can only be understood in terms of who we were. Sort of look at that and say, oh boy, when I think about who I was. And you look in the mirror, you say, have you changed much? Well, if you reflect upon the things that you are today, you've changed a lot, positionally. The transformation of your character takes place over time. God is shaping you through the difficulties of life, through the different relationships that you have. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10 says, "And you, thinking about who you were before you placed your trust in Christ, were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." You used to live that way. We could see that. And there are times when you and I may still live that way when we give ourselves over to wrong choices. "Among them, too, we all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." That's who we were. Verse 4, "But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." The Advent season, remembering who I am in Christ, remembering where I came from, remembering that I've been saved by grace. But he didn't only save me. He says here in verse 6, he raised us up with him and he seated us with him. What a place of excellence to be seated with Christ in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. The Christmas season is a wonderful time to see God work in and through our lives as we seek to meet the needs of others. There's a lot of people a lot less fortunate than we. You may be the person that God wants to use to help others in their plight. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember where you came from, who you were without Christ. And now remember that you have been given a ministry of reconciliation. Why would God trust you and I, in the midst of our weakness and our proneness to selfishness, to be entrusted with a glorious message of grace? Because he believes in the product that he created. He believes in you and I. He believes that once we've come to understand his great love for us, we would express our service in gratitude. We would take the message that we've come to understand, and we would not be able to, we couldn't help but share it with others. And when I understood the gospel as a young boy, and I began to understand that I could share it, and I, you know, the one thing that I wanted to do is I wanted to make sure I had the message straight. And so I would have people tell me the gospel again and again and make sure I got the order right. And I'd get the first part, and then I'd share it with somebody. And I'd get that, and I'd share it again. And people would see me coming. Here comes Mike. And then I'll add a number of people to the Lord as a result. Verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God." This new creation, this new heart, this new mind, this new will, this transformation of the life is all from Christ Jesus. The ability to have a conscience and to know where you're failing and to say, "Lord, I regret that and I don't want to live that way anymore." To go to someone and say, "I was wrong, would you please forgive me?" That is the transformation of the life. That's the new creation. That's people seeking to be at peace with God and with people. "Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." How do I get what you have? I hear what you're saying. I see the transformation in your life. You've got a message that's alive. You're alive. How do I get that? And I've heard people ask, how do I come to know Christ? How does that happen? Do I got to read a particular book? Or, you know, no, you need to have a relationship with the Lord. What's a relationship look like? A relationship is communing with God. It's understanding that He loves you. And that you in turn recognize all that He's done for you. And you in turn say, Lord, I want to serve You and love You. Because I am not worthy. And to express my appreciation for all that You have done. Lord, may I be in Your service. Relationship is established the moment you place your trust in Christ. The moment that you've understood that without Him you'd be eternally lost. And the moment that you trust Him, you understand the promise that was made. He's granted you eternal life. That's the message that you want to get across. So what is the ministry of reconciliation? Verse 19. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And He has committed to us, to you and me and every man, boy and girl, man and woman, boy and girl in this room, the ministry of reconciliation. You have a message to share with people, regardless of language, regardless of age, regardless of gender. Not counting their trespasses against them, He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were entreating through us, entreating the world through us, appealing to the world through us, through the Advent season, saying, open your home, put the lights on, celebrate the season, refocus, do not be alarmed by the circumstances around you. Don't lose perspective. Recognize that you and I are living in the benefits of having been forgiven. Yes, we all experience the fall through the choices and consequences. We can see the deterioration of our bodies. We can be faced with temptation, but we can say no to those things. We can overcome even in the midst of sickness and the loss of function. And so God wants all of us to be trophies of His grace as we share that gospel, as we respond to the challenges around us. And so God is entreating through us. And so we beg you on behalf of Christ, verse 20, be reconciled to God. And so remember, we've been given a ministry of reconciliation. And so the Lord has come. We're going to sing that. The Lord has come. This was prophesied right from the beginning, right from Genesis chapter 3 and 2 Samuel 7. That's part of our message. The Lord has come. The Messiah has come. Sin has been dealt with. We've been set free. Another part of our message is the Lord is returning. He's coming back. Could be at any moment. Could be this morning. Could be before lunch. And some of you are already could smell lunch. Mm-mm. No, you can't. No. Don't go there. I don't want to lose you. Okay. No, the Lord could return at any moment. We have an urgency about the ministry that we've been granted. When are people going to hear unless you share it? Unless you live it? And so the Lord has entrusted us with this message. Don't be clouded by your circumstances. Don't get caught up in the hustle and bustle and the push of the world. Remember what you've received in Christ. Remember who you were without Christ. And remember that we've been given a ministry of reconciliation. Celebrate the coming. Celebrate the promise of His coming. And celebrate the ministry that you've been given. That's what Christmas is about. Next Sunday, we're going to have a celebration. We're celebrating the graduation of 12 students from our Bible classes. They stuck it out. It's been basically about 10 years they've been in these classes. They've persevered. Some of them are teaching classes. If you're part of a Bible class, of course, we want you to all be here. Invite some friends. Maybe some that don't normally come to church but are part of a Bible class. Just invite them to come and see. We'll hear a few testimonies in terms of what the Lord has taught different ones through these classes. Of course, everything that's been taught in these classes is the very same message that we've just proclaimed here this morning. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know who you're walking with. I don't know who is asking you for counsel for this, that, and the other, but do not despair. Trust the Lord. Walk in fellowship with Him, and God will give you the strength to be the man and woman, the boy and girl that the Lord wants you to be. Let's give thanks. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of reconciliation that you've entrusted to us as you came to this earth and reconciled man to God. Thank you that we can come into your very presence prayerfully, by faith, trusting you with the details in our lives. Some of the things that we face, each of us faces, is beyond our understanding. We bow the knee to you and ask you for wisdom, direction. We confess that there are things that we simply just need to keep living, keep following, although we may not even have answers for others. We pray that as we gather around our tables, around this Advent season with family and friends, that you, Lord, would be glorified as we remember all that you have done. May we not lose sight of the marvelous grace that we've received. May we bow the knee and give you thanks. And then as we pray for those who don't yet know you, may we love them. Continue to pray that you'd be merciful, and that you, Lord, during this Advent season would send your messengers into their lives, that they too would come to understand who you are, your great love, great mercy, that they too might experience sins forgiven and peace with you. Thank you that we've received all of these benefits. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for your church around the world, for men and women, boys and girls who serve you, who are praying to you and trusting you to answer their prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.